Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksurmavitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Caitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayambhu Pakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripasindhubhayebhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. I came from Govardhan yesterday. Madhavatiti Bhakti Janani, days of Lord Hari give birth to devotion, and I guess the months of Lord Radha give birth to even more devotion. It was really a wonderful time of Panchanga Bhakti, just concentrating on the five most potent items of devotional service. Potent means they have Shakti, and I've mentioned this many times, it really caught me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that every object, every vastu has a Shakti, and objects of devotion have a Bhakti Shakti. It's very, very powerful, and the Dham is very powerful, and I have a sublime, I'm realizing it more and more, sublime Kutir. I got Kutir little house or something. And basically, it's very unique because it was to be a housing development that never took off. So there's only housing on maybe 5% of the land. And otherwise, even in the morning when I want to take a walk along the paths, and it's just kind of still a little bit jungle and whatever. So, and it's 3 minutes directly to the Prikram Marg and can go over it on hill. We all need times that are only for Krishna. I've stressed this many, many times, but I think I'm realizing it even more. We need times of the day for Krishna, that's our sadhana. Times of the month for Krishna, Madhavatithis, the days of Lord Hari, Ekadasi, and Krishna's birthday, and many times of the year, pilgrimages. And as I'm getting older and in the renounced order of life, I'm seeing how more and more, at least in my unique situation, is a time of life really only for Krishna. And only for Krishna means you know, really absorbing yourself in the holy name of Krishna. Taramadye sarvashreshte nama sankirtanya aparate poyapad. There's 9 processes, but of all the processes, the best is the holy name. Because if you can chant it without offense, then you can attain prema, prema pumartha mahan. And that actually is the goal. And everything else we do, whether it's to renounce desires or to satisfy our desires, is with that objective in mind, because that's really the only ultimate value, is our relationship with God, and everything else is temporary. We may need to through the temporary, realize the eternal and cultivate relationships naturally in this world, in relationship with Krishna and to satisfy us so we're peaceful. But ultimately, that's the objective. love of Godhead and the glory of being in the Holy Dham is the association of so many people who really have internalized that objective and live that way, and it's really a pleasure. And it doesn't mean that they're renunciates either. It's just their dedication is very, very inspiring. Now, I really had to rush out of Govardhan. Some people are coming today, and I packed my Jiva Dharma book. So today I'm just going to speak something else and maybe a little bit more about what I've been doing and the realizations I've had doing it. Usually the Panchaka, of course, the last 5 days of Kartik, a little extra push. There's so much chanting and hearing going on. I know in the ashram, the Bhaktivedanta ashram, which is from about 25 yards behind there, just one of their satsang sessions finished a complete reading of all three volumes of Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And, you know, you can see people young and old just sitting there and listening to Shastra for a month, especially 3 hours in the afternoon. It's a tapasya. And what is tapasya and austerity? Despite the irrational impulses of the mind, that means impulses, attractions for things that are not good for us, and aversions for things that are good for us. So despite those impulses, one engages in devotional service. So I saw that yajna. You know, just continuously reading, and I saw after a while how the people there actually learned how to hear and the transformation in them. From going through a sacred text, a dynamic sacred text about a spiritual journey and how it impacts their own heart. And for a period of time, I was going around, it wasn't my brother, but I was doing it anyway. I was going around half of Govardhan Hill every morning and fast and barefoot. And it's really revelatory, you know, that connection with the earth and the potency of Govardhan and your prayers and the people that you see on the way and the real Gaia, the blue cows. I know where their forest is on Govardhan. And it's powerful. And then every other day, one day the Govindakund side, one day the Radhakund side. And then after Kartik, it's really hard to stop what you're doing because you're getting so much nourishment for it. So I'm continuing. And as far as practical. And then hearing the people's realizations, the transformation that comes from the serious practice of devotional service. And the faith that comes when you actually see the fruits of the practice manifesting to whatever extent in yourself and certainly to the extent that you see it in others. And I stayed in Govardhan a few more days. I usually come back to Vrindavan. I actually go back there for the Govardhan retreat. But of I stayed around because Hillary, she's the young lady who really the main filmmaker of The Women of Bhakti, and her fiance, Kubaleshwara Vishwakarma, very born in Krishna consciousness, kind of romantic, they're artists, so they do things out of the box, decided to have their wedding by the foot of Govardhan Hill. And they requested that I stay, and there was an aspiring disciple of mine, and Kubaleshwara Kuba, aspiring disciple Satchinandana Swami, coordinated to be there. Her parents and sister flew in from different parts of the world. Parents from Australia, her sister from Scotland, and Eva's parents were already staying in Govardhan. So I stayed for the wedding, as they asked me. And just by, I don't want to go too deeply in this story, but it was you can see how Govardhan is. You have this experience. It was Giriraj's wish that they take initiation before the wedding. Somehow or other that happened. And so Hillary became initiated as Bhagini Radha, which means Radha who is pleasure. And of course, what is pleasure? Pleasure is love of God. So Radharani, who is love of God. And then Kuba and Krishna Murari. They initiated Bhagini Radha in the courtyard of my place in Govardhan, which is somehow a very, very peaceful place. And, we got someone to put cow dung, over the place, make it very such thick. It's kind of, we call it monkey proof, because not a monkey, so there's kind of bars over the top. And set up the Dushal. It's just a perfect place. I mean, really, really sublime. Really super sublime, the atmosphere. And, here in Dudge, you get some mali and water flowers, so all decorated with marigolds. And one of the reasons was to ask her parents to come to the wedding, and she wanted her parents to be there at that auspicious thing. So it was kind of a last-minute thing. So I think what I can do today is share with you a little bit of what I spoke about, as I can remember it. It may have even been taped. There was a photographer there. First thing I explained is that her parents, and very substantial people, and very sweet, nice people, and her sister, younger sister, I think it, Bhagini Radha is only 22, her sister's 21. Her sister's already a television producer and things like that. And really nice. She's very close to Badahari. And his wife said Badahari came to also to do kirtan it broke for the 24-hour cure time, and there isn't her friends. Genevieve is also there. And then she's going to be working on the Prabhupada's film with the Autobar, and the Autobar came, so I see some godbrothers there. And then Guru Jethro, who stays next door, and he came. And the place was pretty much packed and a little bit overflow. So when I spoke about it, I described how the parents came to see me the night before. And then the father told me that he's very happy to be here for, you know, both ceremonies, the initiation and the wedding. Since he doesn't know much about initiation, but he certainly does know what marriage is. So I explained that I wanted to explain in a very practical way some of the principles of initiation. I wanted to do it with describing my relationship with Ladini Radha at that time, with this Hillary. So I described how my habit is in Vrindavan is every day at 4 o'clock. As soon as someone asks me, are you giving class? I'll say yes. And I don't advertise it. I have this kind of theory that if people find their own way without any hoopla, you get people with a much more intense desire to hear. Well, I did that this year with my Bhakti immersion. I did that with my Puri retreat. And I really feel it actually works that way. And so I give class every day on different subjects. And at that time, Hillary somehow found out about it and came. And I was describing that I really spoke to her. Well, she felt that I was really speaking to her. Speaking to her means presenting the message in a way that was understandable for her. Therefore, I explained the first thing that Guru is teacher. And what does the teacher do? The teacher communicates a timeless message, but in a way that speaks to your frame of reference, your mode of understanding, in a way that your mode of understanding or frame of reference or perception or understanding increases. And that's basically what a principle of teacher is. And so I explained in Krishna consciousness, of course I'm explaining this to her parents, sister, the people, but also senior people like my explanation, even though it was kind of geared, you know, for their understanding, is that and I explain it's kind of it can be a very, very individual thing. As Vaisheshika Prabhu said, there are different lids for different pots. But if you look at it from a higher platform, what it is Krishna and Guru Tattva. The potency of Krishna to inspire you in spiritual life, increase your desire to love and serve God. God's mercy appears in different forms, or it appears through different forms in a way that can touch your heart. There's one verse, I don't know, a purport, where it explains that Krishna has unlimited forms of mercy. Krishna has unlimited forms of mercy. So it's not filtered, but it's. I gave the example of corrective lenses that for seeing properly, different people require a different prescription. And for understanding properly, different people need a different lens. That lens may be a language, that lens may be a culture, that lens it helps you to see more properly. But ultimately, it's Krishna, and Krishna's mercy. And specifically, I don't know if you mentioned it there, when Hillary came to my class, and, you know, there's different presentations of Krishna consciousness and different ways in which you understand them. But somehow or other, she was probably getting the right message, but through a lens in which she couldn't fully comprehend it, because she was a brilliant filmmaker, award-winning at the age of 15, and coming to Krishna consciousness, she probably had the basic misunderstanding that even Arjuna did, that spiritual life means renunciation. And she was giving up her film thing. But the presentation of Krishna consciousness when she came was very much about the aesthetics of Krishna consciousness. Because I was speaking of the 10th canto, and which is a rasa, is an aesthetic. It's the advancement in spiritual life, in bhakti, the ultimate state of consciousness is an aesthetic experience, an overwhelming experience, but of the aesthetic experience of bhakti. And that's what's communicated. And it manifests in a very, very classical poetic sense. So Krishna consciousness is very much about aesthetics. And it's about dedication. So what you have, and even could be what you like best, you can offer with the most devotion. It's not because you like things that you have to give them up. You give them up and they have no utility. In fact, Rupa Goswami says that when you offer things that you like that can be used in Krishna's service, I'm giving a bit of interpolation, it's heart-opening, which is good for bhakti. And the renunciation comes because you're giving things up that have no value. So I explain, whatever it is, somehow or other, I spoke to her in a way that helped her understand Krishna consciousness and become more inspired. But I explained that the process doesn't end there, because the guru-disciple relationship is based on faith. Faith is the precursor of knowledge. It's understood that knowledge and understanding is beyond your own to a certain degree. And therefore, to take the effort to actually understand it, of course, it should have the ring of truth, even if you don't understand it yet, or you may have that implicit faith in the person. It takes an effort, and no one does any effort without some trust that it'll lead to something good. So that trust and that faith, that has to be tested. And then at a particular time, it becomes solidified to the extent that the teacher feels they can help the student. And that's why it's recommended in Hari Bhakti Vilas that there's a period of mutual examination. So that was the first incident that I wanted to explain Guru Tattva. For the second incident is then she started to develop a relationship with who is now Krishnamurari. And I explained that that also added something very important to her spiritual understanding that was essential. And Kuva's grown up with his disciples were Prabhupada's disciples. And his whole worldview of Krishna consciousness was very, very much Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada did things, and in a very particular way, he's trained. So I was explaining how that's such a nice thing, that although she went to the Bhaktivedanta College and Prabhupada was stressed, and her relationship with me, Prabhupada was stressed, he was also stressed in a very close way because she was living with someone. And she had a further understanding of the necessity and depth of the relationship with Prabhupada that's required to go further in Krishna consciousness. But I said at the same time, it was naturally confusing to both of them. Because, the natural thing is, well, I don't want anyone else. I do, but I don't. I do, but I don't. I don't want anybody else. I don't want anybody in standing in between that relationship. So I said that this went on for some time, and I was also speaking to them about this and trying to help them understand this. And they knew they weren't Ritviks. They knew that this was part of Prabhupada's process, but they just were trying to grasp, exactly how it all works. And then I explained that they had a particular epiphany one day, both of them. They went to Prabhupada's disappearance day in Govardhan, which is one of the best-kept secrets, because you get the best Prabhupada guitar you can ever imagine, because it's nice lila, but the realizations of the level of dedication, starting with Jayadvaita Maharaj, and it's hard to top the depth of his realization about Prabhupada. So clear-minded. And then after him, Krishna Maharaj spoke about Prabhupada's poetry, very beautiful. And then after Pia Krishna Maharaj spoke, Radhanath Swami spoke about reading the memoirs of Jamuna. And then Satchinandana Swami spoke about Prabhupada's realizations in his last day through the last things that he wrote. And then Bhurijan spoke, and then Kesha Bharti spoke, and then I spoke, and then Vaisheshika Prabhu spoke. It was very powerful. And after that function, they came to me basically with tears in their eyes. And what they basically understood is that indirect means direct. That through people who had served Prabhupada and dedicated themselves to Prabhupada, Prabhupada was more clear and accessible. It wasn't creating an obstacle in their relationship with Prabhupada. It was actually revealing Prabhupada. And I gave the example again. It's not that you're looking at an object and you say, I want to see it directly and I don't want glasses. Because what happens is you're not seeing it directly. Because your eyes are distorted. So therefore, the glasses correct the vision. They actually enable you to see things more clearly. In the same way, we're not seeing Prabhupada directly, because it goes through the filter of our distorted mind. And therefore, we need the corrective vision of that analogy. Of course, part of that corrective vision is to show you how to approach Prabhupada directly. So I explained that that was the next aspect of that kind of spiritual revelry. They realized that now, yeah, they came crying, we're wasting our lives, we want to dedicate our lives, we want our marriage to be on a spiritual basis, and we want to dedicate our lives, and give our lives, like Prabhupada's disciples there have given their lives. We want to give it to him in service. It's such a beautiful thought, but I never thought, okay, they're going to get initiated right away. And then the third thing is, then this is after Kartik, and it's going to be, I think it was the day before yesterday, was the initiation. And then maybe the day after Kartik, Krishnamurti is organizing some things, so she's coordinating it with the ISKCON place. And I'm coming back from lunch, so I go out to Bhaktivedanta Ashram, I turn right, and then the next gate is the complex I'm staying. So as I'm walking along the Prikram Marg, and it was Purnima, it was the last day. There's at least a quarter of a million people that are going around, honestly speaking, chanting a bit. And then I see across the river of people, Hillary's coming. And she says, Mara, she's very happy to see me. Looking at her. And I said, well, actually, I'm waiting in the car. I said, don't wait in the car. I will talk to you. No need to wait in the car. No need to wait in the car. So then what happened was, So then what happened was I started talking to her, and she said, because what happened the previous day is I was speaking to them, they came to my place, and I just told her, I said, I won't initiate you unless your husband is initiated. But I wasn't thinking that I would do it right away. And somehow or other, we went to Satchinandana Swami, and there was confusion by Giriraj, and then came back. He's agreed, and then somehow everything's transpired. But she said, I felt like dying last night. And I understood what she meant. And then I said, I want to explain something more about Gurutev. What does dying mean? Dying means is that, what is the real commitment of initiation? The real commitment is, and commitments can foster change. And it's not just the formality of the situation, but what happens is there's a change in consciousness, a commitment. And the commitment is somewhat frightening if you take it seriously, because the commitment is from leading a life, being in the center, to moving to a life serving the center. And that's the death. The death of what? Living in the center is called false ego. I explained too that it's not that it happens just because there's a fire yoke. Really, it's the beginning of the process. Initiation means the beginning. But the sincere person realizes the seriousness of that commitment. And I gave an example, which I read by one Vaishnav scholar. He said, just like a girl in India, before she's married, her identity is I am the daughter of my father. And with the commitment in marriage, she becomes the wife of her husband. So I said, in the same way, that's what initiation means. It's a commitment to change the perspective from I am the subject and things are my objects to God is the subject and I am the object. I am the servant. So I understood what she meant. And I quoted Bhakti Rakshaka Sridharmaj Prabhupada's God brother. I don't know, he's quoting someplace else. He said that spiritual life means die to live. Die to live. Die to live. But what's dying is the false ego. And I describe that in our process, the way that that's done primarily is by chanting the holy name. And I describe, because how do you move out of the center? You have to be attracted to the center. When you're attracted to the center, you want to serve the center rather than be the center. And I described how bhakti works. One other thing I shared before that is when I'm chanting sometimes, and if I meditate on Prabhupada, I said sometimes it can be frightening. Because of the level of commitment he made and the level of commitment he expects. Therefore, the conclusion is very few people really get initiated. But it's a process to come to that point and to embrace that point. To be happy as the servant of God. Be happy in the life of love. Be happy in the life of love. Anyway, getting back to the holy name, so as Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, every object has a shakti or potency. Objects of Gosha have a bhakti shakti. And you associate with them, they put within your heart, they influence you with the potion. To move out of the center, to the life of love. They influence you. And the most powerful object of devotion is the holy name, because the vibration. You confront the vibration, it moves within you to change you. And it's empowered by Lord Chaitanya. Paramadye sarvashreshne namasankrita niraparate poya paya premadan. Of all the items of devotional service, the holy name, chanting the holy name, Nam Sankirtan, is the best, because if you do it without offense, you can easily teach, you can easily get prema, love of Godhead. So that's without offense. Of course, then there's 10 offenses. Then the next day, there's the wedding on this temple that faces Govardhan Hill, a Daoji temple, Balaram. And again, it was like incredible, really. through the whole thing, Buddhahari just led kirtan the whole way. Just kirtan ras, kirtan ras. And the beautiful, seeing all the senior Dina Bandhu and Kuba's uncle is a sannyasi, he's a Prabhupada disciple from 1968 or something in San Francisco. It's a guy, his name is Dude Muckamal, very nice person. He was there, and yeah, the Nanda Goswami was the head of the Bhaktivedanta College, and very, very pure, very unpretentious, very pure soul. And Dina Bandhu, and of course, their parents, and Sachinanda Goswami, and myself, and you know, so many other people. So it was a really unique wedding, because the Bhav, and Govardhan, and the Kirtan. And then after the wedding, everybody going right in at the gate next to Govardhan Hill and establishing their own little, they gave little clay cups and the decorative cups, and you turn them outside. Each person had a little bhajan kutir drawn on the cup, and they can put it by Govardhan Hill to pray for residents. So to make a long story short, when that's finished, and then of course it ended late, and then the feast, and then I had to rush to Vrindavan. I forgot my Jagadharma. Okay, are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is
Radhavi Devi Dasi. Rajarade Devi Dasi. Well, thank you for letting me know that someone was there. Otherwise, I wouldn't know. But interesting hearing these things, right? About Govardhan and. Yeah. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Seems like people are trying, but they can't get through. Anybody else like to say hello? Yeah, that's fine. We went today. Don't you call, but you'll be safe.